Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Police in Kentucky are searching the rugged woods of Laurel County for a 32-year-old man considered armed and dangerous after he allegedly fired multiple rounds from an AR-15-style rifle into traffic on I-75 Saturday night. FBI Special Agent Michael Stansberry.
His vehicle was at the scene. A firearm that he purchased yesterday was at the scene. I am confident that his fingerprints will be found on that firearm. His DNA will be found on that firearm.
Five people were wounded, all expected to survive. CBS's Christian Benavides is in London, Kentucky.
He has a military background, spent 4 years, it's believed, with the National Guard. The weapon that he used was purchased on the same day that this happened.
New information on last week's mass shooting at a high school in Winder, Georgia. His family says the mother of the alleged 14-year-old gunman sprang into action after she got a text that said, "Sorry, Mom." CBS's Anna Schechter.
Charlie Pelhamis, the maternal grandfather of the suspect, painting a picture of the panic amongst family members the morning of the shooting. A phone call that Marcy Gray, the shooter's mother, placed to the school, telling them to act quickly to find her son.
Donald Trump and Kamala Harris are gearing up for their first presidential debate.
Are you ready, Madam Vice President?
Ready.
Harris responding to a reporter's question as she took a walk with her husband, Doug Emhoff, yesterday. CBS's Weijia Jiang is in Pittsburgh.
Both candidates are focused on policy proposals ahead of Tuesday's debate, according to sources who are familiar with how they are preparing. The performances could make a big difference with such tight races in those states that matter the most.
One of them, Pennsylvania, where the debate will be held. Google heads back to court today in a federal case that could help shape the future of online ads. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
Google just recently lost a case related to its search feature. Now the government is taking a look at Google's advertising business. The government wants a court to force Google to sell its software business related to advertising, arguing that its monopoly power has harmed competition.
Apple expected to break new ground today, unveiling new iPhones tailored specifically for AI. Tech contributor Ian Schur.
One of the key questions Apple is going to have to answer as it's releasing these AI features is how to make them actually useful in our daily lives and how to charge the right amount that they're able to make the whole system work.
S&P futures up 37. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Prosecutors are pursuing a murder charge with a hate crime enhancer against an inmate to the Green Bay State Prison accused of killing his cellmate last week. Authorities say Jackson Vogel strangled Michael Laureano on August 27th and told deputies it was because Laureano was black and gay. Governor Evers opposes the idea of splitting UW-Madison from the rest of Wisconsin state universities. Here's Savannah Tomei Olson.
This idea of splitting up UW-Madison from all the other UW system schools seems to gain some momentum every once in a while.
Tell me why that's a good idea. I have no idea. I mean, we have a system. It works. It's underfunded, but it works.
A legislative committee is considering the plan. Any change to the UW system structure would require legislative approval. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Brewers get set to head west. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. After dropping 2 of 3 games to the Rockies and having won just twice in the past 7 games, manager Pat Murphy said that it was a tough homestand for his team.
You know, it was a tough homestand, and we've had games like this. If you looked at the St. Louis series, we had games just like this where once we something didn't go our way, we didn't produce right. We didn't fight back right after that.
Milwaukee will set out on a 6-game road trip out west beginning tomorrow in San Francisco. They'll play Arizona this weekend. The Brewers are still 9 games up in the NL Central with 19 games to play. On Sunday, it'll be the Green Bay Packers taking on the Indianapolis Colts as each team seeks its first victory. For the Packers, they will be without Jordan Love, who is expected to miss at least 3 weeks with an MCL sprain. Malik Willis, who the Packers traded for in the preseason, will start this week's game. The Athletic reports that Green Bay has reached out to free agent quarterback Ryan Tannehill as well. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop into the mid-50s tomorrow, almost exactly like today. Sunshine, upper 70s to low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we welcome former State Senate Majority Leader Democrat Tim Cullen to the program to talk about his new book and great foundation helping Wisconsinites. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, September 9th, 2024. 57 days until Election Day, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, through the Civic Media app on demand by podcast or through our social media video feeds. Thanks for starting your day right here. I've got a question for you. Have you requested your absentee ballot yet? Something I finally got around to doing over the weekend here. There are folks who, especially because it's a presidential election, they want to feel like they're part of the process that day, hashtag America, and go to their voting place, you know, go into the polls, into the voting booth, and make those decisions, and that's great. But if you suspect for any reason whatsoever, your work schedule, the weather, something up with the kids in school, it'll be cold and flu season by that time. If there's anything that you think might possibly get in the way of you voting in the most important election of our lifetimes, then consider getting that absentee ballot and consider getting it ordered today. Because by doing so over at myvote.wi.gov, it'll get mailed to you. You can mail it back, fill it out properly, get a witness to sign it, etc. You can mail it back, or you can just take it back to your local clerk's office, or put it in their drop box. Drop boxes are legal once again in Wisconsin, except for a couple of places where Republican conspiracy theorists are still standing in the way. Or even walk it to your polling place on election day, but at least you know you've got it filled out and done. So think about that absentee ballot today as you make up your to-do list of things for the week. Myvote.wui.gov. Hope you had a good weekend. Here's what we have coming up today. How about Ron Johnson for state school superintendent? Former President Donald Trump visited central Wisconsin over the weekend where he engaged in a nearly two-hour stream of consciousness conversation with himself that covered all the usual conspiracies and intentional lies, but he gave us even more reason to doubt his fitness for office when he suggested putting Ron Johnson in charge of Wisconsin schools. So we'll play that little clip for you this half hour and more from his address. Very little of it having any redeeming social value, but it's important that you hear just how much more extremist rhetoric is getting, the conspiracies, the calls to violence, and things like that. We have some happier news coming up in our second hour, talking to our friend Julie Lassa, the state director for the USDA, their Rural Development State Office here in Wisconsin. We know that President Joe Biden came to Western Wisconsin last week with big news about a major investment in America's rural electric cooperatives. We'll talk to Julie about more of the specific benefits coming to our state from the Biden-Harris initiatives for an improved electric grid, better broadband, better farm efficiency, more job growth in new energy industries. Doesn't all of this sound better than mass arrests of your political opponents and other crazy conspiracies? So we'll talk to Julie a bit about that. Along the way, of course, you can join us on the show at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can text that number. You can text or call us through the Civic Media app as well. You can also, if you're watching the show on Facebook or YouTube, just put something in the comment section. We may put it up on screen here as well. You can email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Let's go over to beautiful downtown Waukesha. Just a short little 4-hour drive from, well, it depends. I mean, I've driven faster in my day before. I would drive faster to go have a cup of coffee with Greg Bach. Mr. Bach, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I would ask you to drive carefully, the speed limit, and with good defensive driving to have that cup of coffee.
Absolutely.
Coffee hands will always be here.
Yep, hands at 10 and 2 on the wheel, of course, with a coffee cup in my right hand, so those left turns get to be really awkward sometimes. But how was your weekend?
Good God, how was it? My goodness. It was fine. You know, it was good. I got a lot done this weekend, Pat Kreitlow. Holy cow. Can I just tell you really quick what I did this weekend?
What did you do this weekend, Greg Bach?
I changed my oil. Unclogged the bathtub in our upstairs bathroom. I installed a bidet. I installed a dog washing wand in the bathroom.
Wow.
And I changed the light switch.
Wow.
Yeah.
You were like an entire HGTV bathroom remodel episode right there.
I know. And with way more sweating.
Yeah, they really don't show that part much on those shows, do they? It all looks so easy.
Yeah.
I just wave my hand and, you know, it gets
just
done.
Just screw this. So,
yeah. Wouldn't we like that HGTV show with the sweating and the swearing?
Oh, HGTV, if you're listening, I'm your guy.
Oh, please do a streaming service. You know, I'd pay $1.50,
yeah,
you know, to watch one of those episodes where Chip and Joanna are just like, I don't know.
Get over there. I can't just. That would be the whole show. It would just be a flurry of curse words. But at the end of the day, you would know how to install your new food compactor.
Oh, yes. That is the important part, is that it would always end with the job getting done.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a little more realistic about how the job gets done.
We call it HG. I don't even want to say that on the air. Never
no,
mind.
You can't even say that. No. Just write. Send me a note later. That'll be good. The Packers open the season in South America. If I say that it was underwhelming, that's probably putting it mildly. I mean, some people are perhaps justifiably angry at the condition of the turf, or the condition of the team. You know, pick one or the other. Either way, it was not pretty, as the Packers lost to the Eagles 34-29. Jordan Love out for maybe 6 weeks with an MCL. Late in the game, which was really, I mean, that was the cherry on top, right? I mean, when you saw Love go down, everybody was already upset. It was late, the night was getting on. We were tired of everything, and then Love goes down. I'm like, okay, well, that sets the tone.
Well, I didn't watch the game, and I don't know. I guess my friends just all became rich because of, like, four friends down in Brazil this weekend for the game.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, but did being in Sao Paulo really add anything to the experience, honestly? Like, is this something that they need to keep doing? And did them being in South America maybe take away from the whole thing of it all?
I think those are fair questions. Okay. I think early in the game when there were a few plays, and I was trying to imagine a South American audience watching this going, hey, this is different. You know, the tackling and the, you know, some of the running and catching. You can use your hands, unlike that other football game that they play down there. So I'm sure it was interesting for a while, but there were times, again, between the injuries and occasionally the slow pace of play. And I'm sure they looked at it and went, what are you guys doing to our turf? You know, because they're used to kind of these light, fast soccer players, yeah. Not these big, heavy linemen, you know, chewing it up and everything. So I just don't know. I don't know if it will. I mean, Roger Goodell, as long as he's commissioner, he's going to push for it. He wants 16 international games a year.
Oh, God.
I know. It's which means every team would lose one home game a year to playing overseas.
But I heard that this game in South America was considered a home game for the Packers.
This would have been a home for the Eagles because they don't lose one of their Lambeau Field games.
Gotcha. Okay.
I could be wrong,
and
too.
2028, NFL on the moon.
Oh, no, he ran out of oxygen. You mean the trainer did? No, he literally did. He ran out of oxygen. So I guess we're going to learn more about Malik Willis, who is the only other quarterback on the Packers roster. That was, you think Love's injury was the cherry on top. When the announcer said, and here comes Malik Willis, the only other quarterback on the Packers roster, you could hear a bunch of us going, what? What?
I know they speak Portuguese down there, but I was like, Kien? And this was, Pat, this was my thing. So we all found out about Jordan Love getting signed to a big contract when we all went to that.
$220 million.
When we went to that baseball game on Yacht Rock night. Mm-hmm. And I don't dislike Jordan Love. I want them to win. I want him to be great. And this isn't a career-ending injury. But whenever I hear that kind of money thrown around, I'm like, well, what happens if on night one he gets hurt?
It's going to happen.
Finger wagging.
It's going to happen to Aaron Rodgers tonight. Aaron Rodgers is playing tonight, and I'm just thinking, okay, first play. Look out. it could happen when you throw around that kind of money.
I know.
On the positive side, Jaden Reed looked really impressive as a wide receiver. Last year's pick out of Michigan State, he had a 33-yard touchdown run, a 70-yard touchdown reception. Should have had a third touchdown catch as well. So, I mean, there were some bright spots. But now they're back here. They've got to figure out their new strategy without Love and get ready for the home opener at Lambeau coming up Sunday at noon against the Indianapolis Colts. Badger football team is 2-0 after beating South Dakota. The Brewers put Christian Yelich on the 60-day injured list. Not a big surprise there. But the Colorado Rockies beat the Brewers 4-1 yesterday. Isaac Collins became the 10th Brewer to make his major league debut this season. He singled in the second inning and he stole second base, but the Brewers lose 2 out of 3 to the Rockies. They've now lost 5 out of the last 7 games. They are off today, and so now they're heading out west. 3 in San Francisco starting tomorrow, and 3 in Arizona. So this home stretch, it's been a really good, exciting season, but we got to get through these last 3 weeks. We got 3 weeks to go, and we're crossing fingers and toes to get there healthy.
We're losing to the Rockies, Pat.
I know. That's
losing to the Rockies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we should not be losing to, you know, some of these other teams, but we have a way. We have a way sometimes, and that's why I said there's a lot of trepidation over these next 3 weeks as a sports fan, as a Brewers fan or a Packer fan, that we have to keep in mind and still carry on, as we will, as we unpack the news, coming up in just a moment, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Monday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Tome for the Todd Allball Show. Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes.
Otis Redding is part of today's history lesson, coming up in just a bit on this Monday morning, September 9th. This is Up North News Radio. Nice to have you along here. You can sign up for a daily newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. That's the website, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner of our homepage and be part of our daily newsletter. In there today, how to grow a 2,000-pound pumpkin. First step is wait till next year. You're never going to get that done by Halloween. But we talked to a gentleman out of Black River Falls who grows some of these giant pumpkins every year. What is the secret to pumpkins that grow up to 50 pounds per day during some of the hot summer days? Learn about that in our newsletter. We also have some fall festivals to put on your calendar because, yes, it is time to start thinking about fall festivals and where you're going to go see the leaves change color and things like that. And we also tell you about Project 2025 and the training videos that are out there to help what could be an army of Donald Trump political appointees who could further the battle against democracy. Again, sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. There is a presidential debate tomorrow night, the first, probably only debate between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump. Special coverage of the debate will begin on Civic Media at 7:30 tomorrow. You'll get analysis and commentary from the Civic Media news and political talk teams, anchored by Terry Bell and Todd Alba. Listen across the Civic Media radio network or through the app. Another Civic Media note, starting today, 4 o'clock, tune in for the Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays across 10 different Civic Media news and talk stations at 4 p.m. Your daily dose of what's happening in Wisconsin, served fresh and uncut. Insightful guests and some of your favorite Civic Media voices joining Dom as well. The Dom Salvia Show starting at 4 o'clock this afternoon across the Civic Media radio network. Okay, I have to be mindful that in this first story leading up to Donald Trump's appearance in Mosinee over the weekend. This first item has me just seething. And it is directed at one individual in law enforcement. Who am I, a guy up in Chippewa Falls, to call out the sheriff of Dodge County, Wisconsin? Well, I saw this story late Friday from WisPolitics that Dodge County's Republican Sheriff Dale Schmidt denies that he was using political pressure on three municipal clerks in his county when he told them, or at least tried to persuade them, not to use absentee ballot drop boxes this fall, telling them it could create the appearance of fraud and degrade trust in our system. When drop boxes are legal and affirmed by a state Supreme Court, when an officer, a law enforcement officer, a sheriff, does something along the lines of, you know, nice little election office you got here. It'd be a shame if something happened to it. When you use that kind of talk, you can flag it as he did. He tried to portray it as serious concerns about election integrity. But it ain't his job to do. And when you see that in a couple of Republican-led municipalities already in southeast Wisconsin, under pressure or by reason of buying into conspiracies, they too are stopping the use of drop boxes. I feel like it is incumbent upon the rest of us to be mindful of and call out any untoward efforts at political intimidation. You're going to hear a few times between now and November 5th about political intimidation, that it's wrong. It's wrong for Trump supporters, whether it's your neighbors or strangers, to try to intimidate you when it comes time to vote. Well, that should then go double for your local sheriff or your chief of police or any other law enforcement officer. I mean, after all, where do they get the idea that something like this would ever be proper and accepted? Oh, wait, what did I just say? Donald Trump was in Mosinee, Wisconsin over the weekend, stopped at the Central Wisconsin Airport, got off his plane that he makes other people pay for, and had all kinds of things to say. One of them, a whole lot of them directly about undermining election integrity. And earlier, he was in, I believe it was Michigan, getting the endorsement from the Fraternal Order of Police. Let that sink in for a moment. A police group endorsed a convicted felon who ordered a mob to attack and beat law enforcement officers rather than the black woman with a history of being a criminal prosecutor. That speaks volumes about the Fraternal Order of Police. But Trump, in accepting that endorsement, had this to say about how he'd like some certain Michigan officers from red territories, he'd like to send them. He doesn't have the gall to say, he doesn't have the you-know-what to say Detroit, but it's definitely what he's talking about in this clip.
Because they've handled themselves and crime and everything else in a stern way, and it's probably a lot easier to do. Maybe we should switch them, move them around to different territories of your state or of our nation and let some other guys take. Would you like that, Foz? I have a feeling you don't want that. I don't want to embarrass it. I don't want to say any particular names of locations, but I can think of a big one in the state. I'd love to have them working there during the election.
He'd love to have them working there during the election. He'd love to have police working in the elections. Let me try not to say this too loudly. That's the very definition of a police state, is what Donald Trump is looking for. And then he came to Mosinee, spoke to a crowd of about 7,000, which is respectable. But of course, in typical Trump fashion, some of his supporters were saying it was 15,000. He was speaking behind a bulletproof enclosure the whole time. Think about that when he's defending the Second Amendment, while speaking behind a bulletproof enclosure, although I see it much more as a gimmick to gin up fears of violence. He spoke for nearly 2 hours, slurred a number of words, got people's names mixed up again. Credit to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Jesse O'Point and Laura Schulte for framing it properly, saying the former president was expected to deliver remarks focused on the economy, but his discursive speech bounced from topic to topic following his mindset at any given moment, with a subhead of the article that said Trump was at times nonsensical and rambling, which is true, perhaps none more so than when he again pushed to get rid of the U.S. Department of Education, which would be one thing, but who would he put in charge? He says getting rid of the U.S. Department of Education would put schools back in state leadership, which they already have. The U.S. Department of Education is there in a supporting role, but of course he sees a conspiracy. He wants to get rid of it. Listen to who he'd put back in charge.
We will ultimately eliminate the federal Department of Education and send education back to Wisconsin and back to the states. We'll send it back to the states so that Ron Johnson can run it, okay? We'll send it back here. Mr. Tiffany, we'll get to our Congressman Tiffany involved. He made a good speech.
Ron Johnson and Tom Tiffany running Wisconsin schools. If that doesn't get some people off the couch and into the polls this November, Lordy, I don't know what will. Back with more after this. You're up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabe.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The harvest may not yet be in full swing, but boy, we're gathering a lot of information that will help us in 2025. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. We'll take a specific look at Wisconsin soybean research next.
All right, team, pay attention to this game film about Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans. See here? When dairy farms grow Plenish soybeans for their cows,
they have lower overall feed costs.
Good eye, Jake.
And they maximize milk fat production.
So they increase the return on their investment.
Well, let that be a lesson to you. For lower feed costs and higher milk fat and dairy cows, what do we plant?
Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans.
Learn more at pioneer.com/happycows.
Dr. Sean Conley, University Extension soybean specialist, is gathering research information right now from north to south in the state of Wisconsin. The goal? Finding ideal profitability.
From Spooner, Wisconsin, all the way down to the Illinois-Wisconsin border, we're doing the same thing. So starting in early April all the way through the end of June, we're planting corn and soybean at the exact same day. And then looking at the overall productivity and profitability of both crops. And what we're really trying to do is map out what is the optimal planting time for each crop and which one gives farmers the best profitability. And what we're doing that is not just in Wisconsin, but across the country, so we can develop these maps and tools for farmers that they can actually do this and look at what's best for their specific farm fields.
Dr. Sean Conley, University Extension soybean specialist, on some of the research data he's looking forward to by the end of the harvest. Markets and overnight electronic trade a little bit mixed on a Monday morning. Numbers are next.
Corn rootworm is a ruthless pest, which is why Bayer is relentless in its innovation. SmartStax Pro with RNAi technology is here. With an RNAi-based mode of action unlike anything that's come before, plus two proven BT traits, it's innovation that equals the strongest biotech defense in medium to high corn rootworm pressure environments from Bayer. Talk to your seed dealer about defending like a pro with SmartStax Pro technology. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices. Copyright 2024 Bayer Group. All rights reserved.
On Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese gained 2.5 cents to 227.5. 40-pound block cheese was up 4 at 227. Double A butter gained 1¼ cents to 317.5 per pound. Now, this morning in Chicago, the October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 8 right now at 22.92 a hundredweight. December corn's down 1 cent at 405. November soybeans are up 3.5 at 1008. December wheat currently down 3 at 563 a bushel. Just a quick snapshot on what's happening in the markets on a Monday morning. Sign up for our daily e-newsletter and you won't miss a thing during the harvest. Just go to MidwestFarmReport.com and you can take care of it right there. I'm PM Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at CivicMedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop into the mid-50s tomorrow, almost exactly like today. Sunshine, upper 70s to low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
The first highly anticipated debate between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump is Tuesday night, September 10th.
Listen here as the presidential candidates address issues important to you.
It's not sustainable. It's not affordable by any country.
I know what we are fighting for. We're not fighting against something. We're fighting for.
Special coverage with detailed insights starts at 7:30 p.m.
Then listen to the ABC presidential debate live at 8, Tuesday, September 10th on your local Civic Media radio station. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jane Matinair returns to the big chair, and we are talking about the election because we are less than 2 months away, people. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Jim Croce is part of today's history lesson as well, coming up in just 15 minutes here on Up North News Radio, where it is now 6:34, just about 6:35. And our friend, OBGYN and candidate for Congress, Dr. Kristen Lierley, is here. Dr. Lierley, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. That song has me feeling very mellow Monday.
Mm-hmm. It is kind of a mellow Monday that way with the things that are in it. You know, the history lesson, it just is what it is. You can't make things happen that didn't happen. So
isn't there another more upbeat Jim Croce song?
There are, but today's is about one particular album, and some of his more upbeat songs are not on that album. So I guess I could have cheated, but then, you know, people would be like, you said that today that album went to number one and that song wasn't on that album.
Do you know who would bust you? Roger Frost.
Yes, yes. Roger's right there.
Yep.
Like
Roger
a
is
hawk.
A fact checker.
Absolutely.
Roger, keeping us honest.
Yep. You'll notice as I was coming in, I was attaching my wristwatch, putting my watch on, which would explain why I slid in here with 3 seconds to go in the commercial break, where it's like, what time is it? I don't have my watch here. Go sit down, Pat. It's time. Although I don't doubt the two of you could take this and just run with it as you did so adeptly during Matinair on Air.
Oh, thank you.
She, mm-hmm. you know, you two are talkers. I tell you, I listened.
We could talk for a long time.
I listened last week. What's the note I sent you? I said it was a great segment, though it was the most boring episode of public service announcement ever. There was no talk about you know, rashes or anything like that, but you just
rashes put that on the list.
Yeah, no. You talked about issues that are important, issues, including for me, there's a mental health issue that I want to get into, and that is, what is it about some people, Kristen, that make them bike 100 miles over the weekend, like you did? What? 100 miles again over the weekend?
It was great. We biked up and down the Door County Peninsula. The weather was absolutely perfect. We ran into some old friends. And after that, we did a campaign event in Egg Harbor and had some, you know, great engagement with the crowd. Lots of good questions. Renee Puplum was there.
Uh-huh.
It just couldn't have been a better day yesterday.
I'm assuming that was after a freshening up, because I'm guessing a candidate for Congress, you know, after sweating for 100 miles, isn't hugging and taking pictures with folks. Or
I'm going to be really honest with you, Pat. I threw on some hiking pants and a campaign T-shirt and a baseball hat, and I apologized to the crowd, but that was as much as I could muster. And, you know, they understood.
Oh, they do. I know. Of course they do. Our friend Scott Ross has a Kristen Lierley for Congress bike jersey. I mean, a really good-looking, professionally done jersey, uh-huh. Which I don't think I've seen on you yet, correct?
Scott got his jersey before we got ours, but yeah. Scott tried to bike it with us last year. He actually biked part of it last year, but it rained.
Yes.
And when we got to the stop where we had to wring our socks out to keep going, Scott was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
So this year he went with the jersey, but not with the ride.
That's okay. and by the way, I just want you to know, there's no hard feelings that I don't have such a jersey. I'm not here saying that.
Oh, God, pack your bags, kids. We're going on a guilt trip.
Oof. Uh-huh. I'll get you a jersey.
No.
You get on your bike, I'll get you a jersey.
Really...
That's the deal.
There it is.
Well, there it is. If it's that condition, then I feel better with what I currently have in my closet, and I'm just going to leave it right there at that.
Can I tell you what the coolest thing was about the ride, though?
What was the coolest thing about this insane 100-mile ride, Kristen?
All of the yard signs that we saw.
Yeah.
There were so many Renee Peplum signs. She's running for the 1st Assembly District. So many Tammy Baldwin signs. So many Kristen Lierley signs. So many more of our signs than our opponent's signs. Door County is blue.
Door County has a history of being a swing county, but is much like some of the, you know, not all the counties around Milwaukee, but certainly some of the areas of those counties, they're not so purple anymore. Mm-hmm. You know,
the wow counties?
Yeah, in the wow counties.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Some of those areas, you know. And that's important because, well, for a host of reasons, and you know, and the cause, there are many causes. The Dobbs decision certainly being one of them. Donald Trump simply being Donald Trump being one of them. But I can't help but think as well that there are people who are no longer as red as they used to be, as staunch Republican as they used to be, because, oh, I don't know, Liz Cheney and Dick Cheney come to mind over this weekend saying that they will be voting for Vice President Kamala Harris because, you know, democracy and America and all the other good reasons. But I can't help but come back to one of them that Donald Trump talked about in Mosini over the weekend. I don't know. I would expect, Dr. Lierley, you would know about this, being a doctor. You have to know about these secret surgeries that are taking place in our schools. Here's Donald Trump talking about what happens to little Jimmy when you send the little boy off to school. And are you worried about him, you know, his safety in some way or another? You should be, because he might not stay the same gender. Here's Donald Trump.
Can you imagine you're a parent and your son leaves the house and you say, Jimmy, I love you so much. Go have a good day in school. And your son comes back with a brutal operation. Can you even imagine this? What the hell is wrong with our country?
I can't imagine it, because Kristen, if I'm not the first one to say this, but if there are these secret ORs in schools, those might be good places to hide during school shootings, because that's the real issue.
Do you remember a time when if you heard somebody say that, we would all go, oh, that's ridiculous, and just write it off?
We'd laugh them out of the room and laugh them out of the race. And instead, this guy's still sitting at like 46% support from the public after something as ridiculous as that. And it is, I have to admit, it's rather insulting, not just because of what he's saying on its face, which is just nonsense, but that, again, it's somehow working to distract people from the real safety issue in schools of school shootings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the whole point, isn't it? I mean, what we've seen in Congress, what we've seen in our state legislature over the past decade is inaction. They haven't been able to get anything done. This last Congress is the least effective Congress in decades, probably since the Great Depression. People are desperate to have their problems solved. They're desperate to be heard. They're desperate to know that their leaders are working on their behalf, because that's not what's happening. But it can be. And the opportunity we have in November is to elect people who actually care about the people they serve instead of their own power.
But instead, you have Donald Trump, as we mentioned in the last segment, vowing through Project 2025 to eliminate the Department of Education. Let Ron Johnson run our schools. Let Tom Tiffany run our schools. And I would assume let Tony Weed run schools in Northeast Wisconsin if he were to win that congressional race over there. And I really appreciated the response social media post from current State Superintendent Jill Underley, who said, if someone in your family said something this bonkers, you'd take the keys away. That's exactly right, Dr. Underley. That's exactly right. If somebody in my family said Ron Johnson, you know, should run our schools, I'd be like, ooh, one too many mimosas. Let me just take those car keys from you, huh?
Something that Jane said to me like a month ago, maybe more, is the amount of articles. Well, it was before Biden decided to step off the election train. The amount of articles coming from the New York Times, Washington Post, all these CNN, considered liberal news outlets, talking about Joe Biden's age, like article, story, article after another. And now ever since she said that, every time I see him talking, I'm like, Waiting for that article, guys. Where's that article saying he is he okay? Is he too old? Is he mumbling words? He's slurring words? He's saying crazy things like this? And there's still nothing. It's just...
And the childcare thing. When he talked about childcare the other day, and he completely veered off, like, immediately and started talking about taxing corporations and was mumbling and you couldn't understand what he was saying. I mean, he is not okay. And to have the political courage that Dick Cheney, Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, and so many others. I mean, I have to hand it to Mike Gallagher, my former congressman. He stood up and he was marginalized, not just marginalized, but threatened because of it. It's the reason that he ended up leaving Congress. His family was threatened. But what we need to see is more bread and butter conservatives recognizing that Donald Trump isn't their guy. And that must feel really hard. But he is not a conservative. He is not a Republican. He is dangerous. I mean, dangerous doesn't even begin to cover it. The potential for negative impact on our country and for decades to come is just hard to even imagine. But in order to fix this problem, we need regular people to say, we're not going to do this anymore.
And I think more regular voters are saying it. Now, I don't follow the 8th Congressional District race as closely as, I don't know, maybe somebody running in it. But I know that your Republican opponent, Tony Weed, you know, got into the race with Trump's endorsement and trying to attach himself to Trump. So this might be a good time for us to see if there's been any separation yet, any disavowal of the nonsense answer that he gave on childcare, anything like that whatsoever?
No, not at all. In fact, he's doubled down on it. His yard signs actually lead with Trump endorsed before they mention his own name. And it's kind of a running joke in the Green Bay area that his full name is Trump endorsed Tony Weed.
That's Trump endorsed Anthony Weed.
Right. He's so closely tied to Donald Trump. When he's asked a question, he just parrots what Trump says. And I'm not saying that as an opponent. I'm inviting you to watch the Republican debate where the three Republicans who ran for the primary talked about different policies. He doesn't have an individual idea of his own. He's an extremist. He's not a moderate. And he's got nothing to offer. He himself said he wants to eliminate the Department of Education because that's what Donald Trump wants. He wants to build Donald Trump's border wall, and he will not pass a continuing resolution. If we can't get the budget passed, we're going to shut down the government. That's going to come back to haunt him, I think, later this month.
I was going to say as early as later this month, where you could see a government shutdown in the final weeks of a general election by Republicans who want to tie undocumented immigrant voting to the federal budget. Mm-hmm. This has never worked. The strategy of the Republicans has never worked, threatening a government shutdown or actually shutting down the government. At times, they always come out, again, looking like Wile E. Coyote in the Roadrunner cartoons, and yet they keep coming back at it, and they're doing it again.
Yeah, I think about all our military who are abandoned when the government shuts down. You know, I think about all of the different services that our federal government provides and all of the people who depend on our federal government. It's so irresponsible to just put your foot down for this arbitrary reason. You are elected as a leader, whether it's a state or federal level, to represent people, to negotiate, to compromise, to find common ground. Not to say I'm taking my ball and going home. And to project that early on in a campaign, like I'm going to be that firm. No, you're not being firm. You're being a pawn. And
yeah.
That's not what people want.
Pawn, puppet, you know, put whatever you want to call it. It's there. And how far down that road are you willing to go? Are you willing to go to what Trump said in Mosinee about wanting to weaken the 25th Amendment? Mm-hmm. So that if a vice president has valid concerns about a president's mental health capacity, that the president instead could just basically fire him, have him impeached? Is he going to follow him down that route as well? How much closer do we get to his social media rant over the weekend about having his political opponents jailed? You know, I mean, there is a situation where you win the congressional race, but Trump wins the presidential race and starts to threaten you and every Democratic member of Congress with jail time. Mm-hmm. Is that something Tony Weed supports? Derek Van Orden, Tom Tiffany?
I've been threatened with jail time before, Pat.
That's true. Yeah, you are. And we're not even talking about her college days. We're actually talking about actual matters here that are very serious about the 8th Congressional District race. All the more reason, again, as I started off the hour saying, if you think for any reason you might not be able to vote in person this week, this is the time. Get online, get your absentee ballot ordered, or do absentee balloting in person and get that vote banked ahead of November 5th. Let's take a pause here. Selena Heller will join us as well. We'll hear about what she's working on for stories for Up North News, and we'll have today's history lesson coming up in just a moment. You're up north.
Operator, but could you help me place this call? I can't read the number that...
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. Who do we know who has done that? Wait, I've got photographic evidence of Dr. Lyerly doing just that. Didn't you?
I sure did. I love the Eagles. I couldn't resist.
You were in Winslow, Arizona, and it was on this day in 1999 that Standing on the Corner Park opened in Winslow, Arizona, inspired by the famous Eagle song Take It Easy, featuring the statue of a man with a guitar standing on the corner. The park quickly became a popular photo op for folks passing through Winslow, like Dr. Lyerly.
And then there is a flatbed Ford, and they are streaming Eagles music constantly.
And then shortly after that, they were sued by Don Henley and Glenn Frey.
I'm sure they got part of the take as well. Selena Heller joins us as well. Ms. Heller, how are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How is everyone?
We're good. So we needed a little bit something more upbeat from the Eagles there, because apparently Jim Croce wasn't getting it done for the rest of the group. Yeah, exactly.
Monday. We need pep.
You need pep? You need something really upbeat, like dance worthy?
Yeah, you got it.
No, too bad. Here's John Sebastian. It was on this day in 1975. Welcome Back, Kotter debuted on ABC. And I know
what I've seen. Yes, Dr. Lyerly.
Mr. Kotter. Mr. Kreitlow. Kreitlow.
I thought you were going to be like, yeah, me and John Sebastian wrote a song back in 1984. No big deal.
Could totally see it. The song itself by John Sebastian would go to number one in 1976, but the show debuted this day in 1975 with an unknown John Travolta playing Vinnie Barbarino. I loved that show when it started. It was like early sixth grade for me, so I mean, this was right in my wheelhouse. You're looking at this show, and it's like, oh, these are the big kids, these are the high schoolers, you know. And then you're watching,
going, cool.
Yep. I don't know that I'd say they were cool, but it was definitely funny, and that made me very happy. Let's see. We have to have a little respect for Otis Redding, born this day in 1941. Now, I mean, we're taking nothing away from Aretha, but that is a really fine version in its own right. Otis Redding, gone way too early, died in that plane crash in Lake Monona in 1967 on his way to Madison for a concert, but was born this day in 1941. Dave Stewart of the Eurythmics, he and Annie Lennox started the group way back in 1980. Dave Stewart is 72 today. John Kuhn of the Packers. I was waiting. Let me try that again. John Kuhn.
I thought you guys were going to say John Cougar Mellencamp.
It started out that way.
Yeah.
John Kuhn is 42 today. Michael Bublé is 49 years old today. Did I give you a song for Michael Bublé or not, Greg? I don't think I did.
For later in the show. Oh, yeah, you did.
Do I have it later?
You did. Sorry, it's right there.
I did?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
Michael
just
Bublé.
A little down on the list.
Okay. I doubled it up, didn't I?
You did.
Okay. Such a Monday. Somebody's got a case of the Mondays. Here we go. Hey, Michael Bublé is 49 years old today.
How spontaneous.
There we go. Now Kristen's with us. Little more upbeat now. Let's see. We mentioned Jim Croce's LP, Don't Mess Around With Jim, hit number one this day. Elvis Presley made the first of three contracted appearances on The Ed Sullivan Show. Elvis performed Love Me Tender, Hound Dog, and Don't Be Cruel.
Don't Be Cruel.
It's weird to look at the video of this because they're shooting him full, and as soon as the song starts, they push in so hard just to show him from the waist up, because God forbid, you know, you see the actual dance moves. Young schoolgirls, you know, like Selena would be crying and screaming in the aisles.
How old do you think Selena is?
Well, Selena's very deceiving. Selena looks, you know.
Oh, boy. 28.
She's actually 88. A lot of people don't know.
Talk about Elvis. Let's not talk about Selena's age.
Thank you. Thanks, Kristen.
Hugh Grant is 64 today. Adam Sandler is 58. Oh, I love this one. We did this a couple of weeks back with two people that are the same age, but you'd never know it because they were famous at different times. Remember Henry Thomas, the kid from E.T.?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Okay. Remember Eric Stone Street from Modern Family?
Uh-huh.
They're both 53 today.
Oh, my goodness.
Born the same day Henry Thomas was famous a little bit earlier.
Made everyone feel like, oh, God, Elliot is 53. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I know. The number one song this day in 1978, since Kristen's still looking for a reason to boogie oogie oogie, would be from A Taste of Honey. The ramp there gives me time to tell you that the Continental Congress officially named the country the United States on this day in 1776. Washington, D.C., the capital of the U.S., was named after President Washington this day in 1791. The Radio Corporation of America, later known as RCA, parent company of NBC, was formed this day in 1926. And who doesn't like a free gift? Apparently, I remember this, 500 million iTunes users created an uproar when Apple put U2's latest album, Songs of Innocence, in their personal libraries without permission this day in 2014. Does anybody else remember that?
I do, because my friends still won't let it go. They still complain about it.
I was just like, I didn't ask for this. I mean, I'm sure it's fine, but I don't want anybody else choosing what goes in my music library.
So Bono addresses this in his book. He said this was not a corporate thing. This was not a stunt. It was his idea, no one else's. And he's like, and I apologize. I thought it would be a nice thing to do. And it's all on me. I'm like, I was never mad at you in the first place, Paul. I'm fine.
Today is International Sudoku Day, Emergency Services Day, Teddy Bear Day, Care Bear Day, trying to, you know, hitchhike on the fame of the teddy bear. Wiener Schnitzel Day, Fetal Alcohol Syndrome Spectrum Disorders Awareness Day, International Day to Protect Education from Attack Day, and National Box Wine Day. Box wine, getting a bad reputation from the very beginning. It's right. I mean,
not the Bach household. Jackie Bach loves a box wine.
She does. A lot of people do.
So Lena's going to tell us about the story she's working on.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
T. Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the creator of the Meet the Parents franchise. Greg Liana joins the show to tell us where we can see his indie film classic, and casting director Rex Sykes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 6 till 8.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Pilot with Native Roots for their program Awake Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. on 540 a.m. WAUK. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.